Good morning again. As one of the clergy of this church, it is my privilege to serve in many of the ministries, and it is a special privilege to be asked to bring the message today on this very special day. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being here today. Thank you for the opportunity to tell about your love. I ask that my message touch someone's heart here today and be with those that cannot be with us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We heard the scripture read, but I would like to read Proverbs 31, 28 through 31 again. And I'm going to read the King James Version. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, on this special day, we think of all the many things that our mothers taught us. And there are all kinds of mothers, not just biological ones. There have been special people in our life that have been mothers to us. And all of us, men and women, have taught others. So we're not just talking about biological mothers. And I was thinking of all the different things that my mother taught me. And some of her sayings came to mind. And I'm not sure she really meant them to teach me, but she did say them. She taught me logic. She said, "Now, if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me." And if everyone else jumped off the cliff, would you do it too? And she taught me humor. She said, if you go out and mow the grass with no shoes on and cut off your toes, don't come running to me. And there's always genetics. You're just like your father. And anticipation. Just wait until we get home. Boy, are you gonna get it. And she taught me how to receive or how to stamina. You're going to sit at that table and finish all that broccoli on your plate, and you can't get up until you do. And then she taught us to always be prepared. Now, make sure you always wear clean underwear because you don't know when you'll be in an accident. And she did teach us religion. You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet. Several months ago, my husband pointed out an ad that was on television that he thought was just wonderful, and I did too. It just warmed my heart. And I asked Steve, whom we don't see, but he's always up there making us look good and cluing us in on things, I said, can you find the clip of this? Because the next time I have the opportunity to bring the message, I would like to show it. So let's look at this clip that Steve found for me. Did your mother teach you to pray? We remember many prayers of our childhood. Maybe we remember the 23rd Psalm as a prayer. I know that some adults still say the blessing, God is great, God is good. We also remember oftentimes saying the prayer at night, now I lay me down to sleep. And we said what most of us called all of our life the Lord's Prayer, and we were taught to call it that. We'll talk about that later, but why do we pray? Why do we talk to God? In Thessalonians 5:17, it exhorts us to pray constantly. We pray because prayer is an antidote for anxiety. We live in a very chaotic world, and prayer brings us peace. Talking with God brings peace that transcends all understanding. And it deepens our relationship with God. He likes to have us talk with Him. And if we listen, He talks with us. It's a communion with God. Jesus prayed constantly. God cares for us. And how do we pray? In Matthew 6:8, He tells us not to babble, not to be like the hypocrites. And we don't have to pray a long prayer. I know we've been places and we've heard a prayer that was so long we thought maybe we had gotten there late and we were hearing the sermon. But it doesn't have to be a long prayer. But how do we pray? There was an elderly man that lived with his daughter, and he had gotten so he was in the bed most of the time. And she went to the local church, and she asked the pastor of that church to please come see her father, that he could use a visit. So the pastor got to the church, or not to the church, but to the home, and the man was in the bed. And he had an empty chair sitting by the bed. So the daughter took him in to her father, and the minister said, "Oh, I see you were expecting me." He said, "No, I don't even know who you are." And he said, "Well, I thought maybe with the empty chair that you knew I was coming." He said, "I'll tell you about the empty chair, but first you need to shut the door." He said, "You know, I've never been able to pray." He said, "I went to church all my life, and when the minister talked about praying, it just went right over my head. I just couldn't do it. But about 4 years ago, my friend Joe was visiting, and he said, wherever you are going to pray, if you're having a problem, put an empty chair and just imagine Jesus, God, whomever you're talking to, sitting in that chair, and you'll find that you can pray, you can talk. And he said, ever since then, I've done that. He said, but I make sure my daughter doesn't hear me because she'd have me committed. So they had a nice visit, and the minister prayed with him. And a couple of weeks later, the elderly man died. And the daughter called the minister, and she said, "My father has passed away." And the minister said, "Did he go in peace?" She said, "Yes, I think he did, but it was a really strange thing." She said, "He was on his knees with his head in the chair." She said, "It was really eerie." But she said, "Yes, I think he did go in peace." So it doesn't make any difference how we pray. We can pray anytime, anywhere. Now, the model prayer, as I said, has been commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But it is an example, a pattern, a self-help on how to pray. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, which was a very long sermon. It covers chapters 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew. The scholars say it is the greatest discourse ever. So I wanted to know exactly what they meant when they said discourse. A discourse is when you write or speak about something with great authority. Now, the model prayer is said in all denominations. And I was giving a gift of a little prayer bear to a group of friends of mine, and one of them was Jewish. And on the back of the card, I had written the model prayer, and I didn't have it on the back of her card. And I said, well, I didn't know whether you said the model prayer. She said, oh yes, we say the model prayer. So it's the most widely said prayer of all the prayers. And he gave it as an example to the multitudes. Now, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you remember, Matthew was Matthew Levi. He was a tax collector. And they had quite they didn't like it a whole lot that Jesus had dinner with the tax collector, and then he invited him to be one of the disciples. Nothing much is known about Matthew after the resurrection, but it's widely believed, even though it's not named, that he did write the book of Matthew between 50 and 60 of the Christian era. Now, the Sermon on the Mount was given to a large multitude of people, and it was in a sort of a bowl-shaped valley. So Jesus didn't have to have any amplification of his voice. His voice carried. And it's thought that maybe the audience might have been a little hostile because of Matthew, but we really don't know that. But it's one of the best-known sermons that we have in the Christian. Now, Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Jesus gave us a model, a pattern, an example. He gave this to the multitudes. Now, I know that many translations of the Bible are much easier to understand than the King James. And I know that when we read the footnotes, it makes things clear to us. But I love the wording in the King James. And I'd like to read the model prayer from Matthew 9:15, from the King James Version. It says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we pray this every Sunday, and we pray it in many other settings. And I know that oftentimes when we say something from memory, and most of us that have been Christians all our life don't remember when we did not know this prayer. And if you're a new Christian, you've probably learned this prayer. But the prayer is filled with meaning, and it just summarizes our Christian faith. And sometimes when we say things from memory, we say them by rote, and we don't really think about what we're saying. So I wanted to really take this model and look at it verse by verse. Our Father, who art in heaven. That's our core religious beliefs. Our Father, God our Father. We acknowledge to whom we're praying. We might say, as Pastor Kevin does, gracious Holy One, our Heavenly Father, but we acknowledge to whom we're praying. God, our Father, He cares for us. God is in heaven. He's above us. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Hallowed be thy name. We revere his name. It's holy, and we should always revere and respect that name. Thy kingdom come. That's really two petitions. We live in God's kingdom here on earth, and we know that when we die, Jesus died to save us, and we're going to live in the kingdom in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're asking for God's grace. We need to do his will throughout our life. Sometimes it's a big thing, and sometimes it's really difficult, and sometimes it's a really easy thing, but we need to commit ourselves to Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. Everything we need, God gives to us. Not necessarily everything we want, but everything we need, God gives to us. Now, in the King James Version, it says, "Forgive us our debts." In Matthew 6:14, it says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you." But forgive us our debts, or our trespasses, or our sins, as some versions say, as we forgive others. That's really a tough one. Oftentimes we say, well, I'll forgive them, but I can't forget. But God forgives us, and he does forget what's gone on in the past. And we can't really accept his love and grace if we've got hardness in our heart, if we're not forgiving of others. When we have bitterness and anger, it's just easier said than done to say, "Forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive others." But God, through prayer, can give us the strength. "And lead us not in temptation." We live in a very tempting world, and temptation and sin goes hand in hand. So we're asking not to lead us into sin, into temptation. We have to pray for that not to happen. "But deliver us from evil." Unfortunately, evil is a reality, and we ask to be spared to deliver us from evil. Now, the devil is always trying to tempt us, and we don't always recognize that as the devil. "But lead us not in temptation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." It ends with the doxology. It ends with praise to God. We acknowledge that it is the Holy One. There was a little girl on her knees praying, and she had her dolls lined up beside her. And her father walked by her room, and he was so pleased that his daughter was saying her prayers. And as he passed by her room, he paused to listen to what she was saying. And he heard her saying, "A, B, C, D," and she went through the entire alphabet. And he stood listening some more, and she repeated the alphabet. And he backed up, and he went into her room, and he said, "I'm really pleased that you're praying, that you're talking with God, and I know I shouldn't have been listening." He said, "But I just can't help but ask you, why were you saying the alphabet?" She said, "Oh, Daddy, I had prayed for you and Mommy and everything I could think of, and I couldn't think of what words to say, so I just started saying the alphabet because I know God could put it together and make my words." God can put our thoughts together, our words together. Pastor Kevin prayed in March, or he had a sermon, Praying with a Purpose. And just recently, in the Wednesday Word, it said, it doesn't matter if you pray poorly, but it does matter if you don't pray at all. As we come to the end of this service, I want us to think about talking with God. He listens. He is the best multitasker of all. He can listen to all of us at the same time. And if we listen to Him, we can hear His voice speaking to us. He knows how to put our words together. He knows how to put our thoughts together. Let's all take a moment and silently go to God in prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go forth, be with us, and be with us as we stand and hold hands and sing our closing hymn.